Pia Pescatelli, Slow Fashion Challenger, subtitled Greenie Guide Tips to Creating a Sustainable Closet. This is episode 14 on the Tiny Climate Challenge podcast. And as usual, the show notes at tinyclimate.com have links to everything that's mentioned in this episode.
I'm Mayela Manassian, your host on the Tiny Climate Challenge podcast. This is a podcast for busy people who want to save the planet by completing one simple eco challenge at a time. Let's do this. Please visit tinyclimate.com to access all episodes, show notes, freely subscribe, and contact us. Hello, my name is Mayela Manassian. I'm your host of Tiny Climate Challenge. And today I'm speaking with our guest challenger, Pia Pescatelli. And I've invited a few co-hosts, my podcast wizard slash producer, John Beathen.
Good generic time of the day.
And Phil Watts. What's up?
Hola!
Welcome, everyone. The topic of our podcast is all about slow fashion. And the title of this podcast is Not So Fast Fashion. So I just wanted to share with you how I ended up selecting Pia to be on the show. I have a guest expert and a challenger that join me every episode. And Pia, I just noticed, had started her own challenge. So you're a challenger without knowing
it. Yep.
You started your own challenge. And you, well, I'm going to let you talk. We'll get into that. But anyway, why don't you introduce yourself first?
Hello. Hello, everyone. My name is Pia. I am passionate about making a difference and taking climate action. I professionally work in environmental education, and I've done that for about 4 years now. And on my spare time, I have a podcast called Greenie Guide Podcast, where I really try to make it easy to and fun to take eco action on a regular basis, because I think getting started is one of the hardest things. So if I can help make that happen, it's easier to keep moving and moving and make a difference.
And you definitely do. So let me just share again with how this works. So I have multiple episodes in which I invite guest experts and guest challengers onto the show. And I have a friend who actually introduced me to this whole topic of slow fashion. Mm-hmm. She's a climate reality leader as well. Her name's Erica Lopez Lara. And she came to visit. She's from Mexico, and she came to visit, and I picked her up. And I said, hey, do you mind? I got to run to the mall really quick and just exchange some outfit. And so then she was kind enough to wait in the car, and then she got back in. And then we got on this whole topic of conversation all the way home about slow fashion and what that was. And so basically she caught me shopping, doing some fast fashion shopping there. And decided to educate me on the whole topic, which was fantastic because I am not perfect and I know that I have a lot to learn here. And so anyhow, we did an interview together, and then I thought, well, I have to find someone to be my guest challenger, you know, someone who would be willing to A, you know, become aware of the fact that fast fashion is contributing to, increases our carbon footprint, causes all sorts of environmental damage. And so I kept asking people that I knew, would you be willing to be on the show on this particular topic? And everyone I asked said, oh, you know, I don't really shop that much. Like, you know,
which is common.
Yeah.
You don't realize how much you shop.
Exactly. And I was like, I'm pretty sure you do shop. Like, I see the clothes that you're wearing and the things that you have. And so I know you're out there shopping, but no one really wanted to admit to it. And then one day I was just scrolling through my Instagram feed and I saw your post on this very same topic. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm like, she's actually doing this. You had been doing it for a while. And I thought, okay, I need to reach out to Pia for this because I know, she's already admitted that she's being mindful of this and watching this. So why don't you tell us about your challenge that you gave yourself on this topic?
Well, first of all, I love challenges. I think, at least for my personality and probably for a lot of people, we don't realize how much we do something we don't want to do. So in this case, shopping for fast fashion. I mean, that's something that, one, you don't really realize, and that's where the fast fashion companies get you, because like you walk in there, you don't expect to get anything and you end up with 10 things on the way out. So I had been kind of being mindful about this for the past few years, but every once in a while you'd walk into a Target and leave with, you know, a shirt, pants, a jacket you didn't really need. And these fast fashion companies are making products that are not sustainable, one, and really aren't made to last. So I think one of the things that spurred me to start this challenge was I had gotten a shirt a few years ago that it was a Star Wars shirt. I still love the shirt and I'm obsessed with it. I would wear it all the time if it lasted. It did not, but it said, don't be basic on it. And I wore it maybe a couple times and I washed it. And then as I kept washing it more and more, and I wore it maybe 2 months straight, it just faded away completely, that it was not only see-through, but you couldn't see the design on it. It was just, it was not wearable anymore. And I realized that even in the best of scenarios with fast fashion, we want to wear it and we continue to wear it. It doesn't last forever. So I decided to do this challenge because it would get me to avoid those just spur of the moment purchases that you would say strong to, no, I don't want to buy this because I don't feel good buying these things. And I started in January as a kind of a New Year's resolution, and I've been doing it since then. So we'll probably talk about the different ways you can get clothes instead of from fast fashion.
Do you think there's any value in having, you know, clothing that just vanishes quickly and remind you that life is precious and you should value every moment? And maybe there was some virtue to this sort of vanishing clothing that you got.
I have to say, if you go to a Goodwill, you'll find a lot of Target clothes there because people donate them. So you can still get that just secondhand.
Yeah. Doubly virtuous.
So I know we'll get into this, but I have a confession to make here. I have this really old bra that I absolutely love, and it's got it's got holes in it. It's awful. I was like, if anybody saw this, it's the unsexiest thing you've ever seen, but it fits like perfectly. Mm-hmm. And anyway, well, maybe we'll just talk about that now. So, let's just jump right into it. Let's get all personal here. So what do you do about finding bras and underwear and things like that?
So for bras, there's either buying from a sustainable company or buying secondhand, I guess, to first differentiate those two. I was really excited. So bras have been kind of a hard thing for me because it's bras and then underwear first. So bras specifically have been hard because, you know, you really have to get a very specific size to get them. And it just feels like that was never there. And I, you know, with Goodwill, you don't know what type of things you always want to get when you go there. So there's really great reuse companies like Buffalo Exchange that have slightly higher quality items that you trust a little bit more than some of the thrift stores. Or one discovery that I just bought from that I had never done before because I'm cheap and always want to do just in-person Goodwill is ThredUp, mm-hmm. which there was a sports bra specifically that I loved in the past. It was from Victoria's Secret. It lasted for a long time, but I needed a new one. And I looked on there and they had the exact same bra that wasn't available anymore anyway, if you wanted to buy it from Victoria's Secret. And I bought it for $15 off ThredUp.
That's an app, right?
It's a website. I'm sure they have an app too.
Oh, okay.
I bought off the website.
Okay.
So, right. So that's for bras. For underwear, I probably get those from a more sustainable company. Pact is the place that I go to for underwear now.
Ooh, how's that?
Pact spell? Organics. And they're focused on ethical, fair trade, and organic. So looking for more sustainable companies for those items that you just cannot find secondhand is a great option.
Mm-hmm. And what about for the guys?
Well, I was going to tell you that I don't really have very much trouble finding a bra that fits me. I tend to settle for just about any size or shape. And so I'm more interested in price when it comes to bra shopping than the other details. And then, you know, with respect to underwear, I think, you know, any underwear made out of bottles, you know, reuse in plastic bottles.
I'm sure they have them.
Yeah, I think it's about time we should talk about the, you know, societal and personal hygiene benefits of a penis gourd. and
my goodness.
The various ways that we can create them in Western societies.
Well, so. This conversation devolved quickly.
Phil needs his own show.
Yes, he definitely needs his own show, and I think he needs to start making his own products. All right, John, do you have anything, any concerns or questions to add on this?
Well, I definitely have concerns. Definitely have concerns, but nothing to input at this time.
Okay. So what caught my attention on your Instagram post was that you had mentioned you found some leggings at Goodwill. So is that your go-to place or?
It depends what I'm looking for. I think one of the best tips for having a more sustainable shopping habit for clothes is thinking ahead. So for something like leggings, specifically leggings to go to the gym, you know, you might not get lucky on the first time you go to a Goodwill or a secondhand shop. So it's really thinking, well, I kind of need something and trying to plan it out. So I won't, you know, I don't desperately need it now, but I know the pair that I have is wearing out. So I probably will in the next month or two. So I should start looking now. And with Goodwills or with other stores, it's finding your favorites. And I have, you know, Goodwills in San Diego as well, but locally for me here in Minneapolis, there are a couple that I just get really lucky. There must be people in the area that have my same taste, my same size. And so it works out. But for leggings, you know, I would say Buffalo Exchange is a great option. ThredUp, which we just talked about, and just keeping an eye out when you know you need something, because that's when you'll get lucky to find what you're looking for.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever gone local fabric shopping? You know, find
things. To actually sew it myself, do you mean?
Well, maybe not that, but you know, sometimes you'll find people selling wraps or clothing from India, maybe, or things that are maybe look more handmade or tie-dyed or something. I'm just curious, what fraction of the clothing that we're talking about here is thrift store versus, you know, what fraction of it is sort of more something that you would find that's handmade and local?
Like locally based.
Yeah.
I think that's that when you talk about a conscious, like consumerism and conscious closets and shopping, I feel like that is one of the tips that people give is look for local companies and support those. I'm pretty cheap and frugal. So for me, thrift stores is always the first go-to.
That's great. So I used to shop at thrift stores all the time and I don't anymore. I mean, I moved. I don't even live in the country anymore. There's thrift stores down where I live. I live in Mexico now, by the way. There's actually a woman who moved down there from the States and she started her own thrift shop there. And
great.
So, she gets a lot of American or clothes from the US and then resells it down there because there's a lot of Americans and Canadians who live down there now. Mm. But anyway, yeah. So I, in talking to you and with Erica, I realized it's something I used to really enjoy doing, but it's something that takes time too. And like you said, like if you have something specific in mind, you might not necessarily find it. So, you have to set aside the time to go and just kind of browse and, you know, hope if you just know you need a shirt or blouse or something, it's easy to go and just kind of look through the racks and hope that you'll find something that's in your size and is what you're along the lines of what you're looking for. So go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, you know, I think one of the things that really helped me with this is just making it a fun experience. So it's something I even like to do when I travel, that I check out the local Buffalo Exchange or look for, you know, what are the best thrift stores in this city and then try to check them out, because you find such interesting things that you can make it an activity in itself. And I think, you know, I grew up that I was overweight and just with, you know, not having a lot of discretionary income to spend on clothes as a family, I never liked shopping. So just the fact that you can kind of instill that funness and shopping. And I think thrift stores make it even more fun because you're finding just random stuff that you can like pick up, look at the message on the shirt and go, hee hee, and just like laugh over it. So the more that you can figure out a way to make it fun for yourself, I think the better, and you're more likely to get lucky finding things too.
You like treasure hunting, don't you?
It's almost like treasure hunting.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
I just went to a thrift store, and this is not clothes, but there's a soup bowl that I have that my grandma gave me when I was really young. And it's this chicken bowl. So it's supposed to be for a chicken noodle soup, I'm assuming originally. And I like covet it. I don't let anyone use it. I have to wash it. And I just went to a thrift store and there were three there. So now I have a set of four.
Oh, wow.
The exact same thing. I had never seen it before. So you find some fun things.
I have a friend who just came back from Uganda, mm-hmm. and she went to some of the local clothing markets and brought back, you know, tons of clothing and then turns around and resells it on Melrose Avenue in Los Angeles, you know, as a sort of awesome. A specialty item. And it's really a cool thing. And I was just, you know, listening to you two and thinking that you guys are about to go into the clothing business with Mayella finding local Mexican fabrics.
I like it. And I make it fun to shop around with it.
You see, all Mayella needs to get into the clothing business is for you to tell her what she should make with that Mexican fabric.
She just needs a new bra. She can make that exactly. out of the fabric.
Oh, I can make some really fun bras out of Mexican fabric.
Yes. Fiesta bras.
Yeah, fiesta bras. I love that.
I like it.
So I'm curious, what is your most favorite thrifty thread?
You know, I feel like what I posted that you saw the other day, the Adidas just, you know, running leggings was great. I find so many great things. I mean, one of the things we haven't talked about is other avenues. So clothing swaps are a really fun way to get new clothes without buying them. And I'm trying to think what it was. Last fall, I was looking for a cozy sweater. And I just wasn't finding what I was looking for. I like ones that are just a little bit better quality than some of the fast fashion clothes you find at thrift stores. And I like them with pockets, which for women, not all of them do have pockets on sweaters. And I just randomly went to a neighborhood clothing swap that was just organized last minute. And I found the perfect one that fit me. And I was like jumping up and down excited. It's just like a very preppy navy blue sweater, you know, made out of wool. So it's really cozy.
I have a question. Do you think it's okay to drink wine at clothing swaps?
I do. You know, there was one in San Diego that I went to a few months ago. Uh-huh. It was organized and they had cocktails.
I see.
And specialty made cocktails. See, it's fun. It's an experience.
The only missing I heard there is that you haven't hosted your own. You see, that was the thing.
That'll be the next step. After this challenge, I'll make that challenge for myself to host one.
That's perfect. Awesome.
What do you think, John? Should we swap clothes?
Turn the video on and do that?
I really want to try her bra. I think that's where it's at.
It sounds comfy.
It does, doesn't it?
Oh my goodness. All right. So I often like to ask people, you know, what is the easiest thing about doing this challenge? What is the most difficult? So I think it would be, and I appreciate you sharing other ways that we can get clothes other from just secondhand shopping. Swapping clothes, I think, is also an awesome idea. I know I actually have my best friend. We share the same shoe size. Mm-hmm. And that's it. That's all we share. But but she has amazing shoes. And I just always feel so privileged when I get to walk a mile in her shoes. Anyway, so yeah, that's fun. Like when you know someone that you can exchange clothes with. And also, my daughter, I'm in the process of moving. I live in Mexico, but I'm packing up all my stuff, not wanting to take a lot of it with me. And so I have a lot of jewelry that I'm giving away. And so I'm going to go visit my daughter and I'm going to offer it to her first. She gets the right of first refusal. So jewelry, some things are easier, I guess, to swap than others.
Yeah, true.
But anyway, so what was easiest for you? And tell us, how long have you been doing this challenge?
So the challenge officially since January 1st.
Okay, so we're at, you know, 7-8 months now, going on 8 months, yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's impressive. And what's been the easiest thing for you?
You know, I feel like I'm trying to think of a non-cop-out answer. Easiest thing for me. I would say the easiest thing for me is, you know, I'm someone who wants to be a minimalist, mm-hmm. and I try to minimize the stuff that I have, but I still have a lot of stuff. So for me, the easiest thing is, you know, even though my goal is to not buy fast fashion clothes by proxy, you almost don't buy too many extra clothes and you're more mindful about all your purchases. So the easiest thing is just setting the challenge and committing to it, because it just makes the other decisions easier. When you walk into a Target, it's a lot easier to say, no, I'm challenging myself to a year versus saying, oh, it's not a big deal if I make one purchase. That's so just committing was probably the easiest.
But what can I just ask you, because I'm always interested in something a little bit more specific. Yeah. What does success look like for you? Like, what do you think is, you know?
For me, you know,
I'm there.
Even before this, I was really trying to avoid fast fashion clothes. And I had a partner at the time, you know, maybe a year ago, say to me, you know, if everyone lived like you and just bought a couple things, it's not a big deal. And I think that is true. If all of us were really mindful and for the most part buying sustainable clothes or from secondhand markets, I don't think it would be as big of a deal. But at the same time, it still felt like, you know, not to say that I felt guilty after purchases, but if you'd have to get rid of something after a couple months, you would feel very guilty. I would feel very guilty for saying, you know, should I have really gotten this? Was it more of an impulse buy? I'll have to learn for next time, but why did I buy this? So I think I think just kind of setting the challenge, it makes me live by my values more. And that's what I like about it.
Is there a positive feeling in there somewhere?
There is a positive feeling.
There is? Okay, excellent.
No, I feel lighter. I feel energetic.
Yes. Okay, excellent. Excellent.
And you look better.
Can I just point out that we have a video of her and we can see her open closet behind her with the rainbow color of clothing that looks like it's about to fall over and bury her in a landslide.
And see, I was actually going to close it and then I was like, no, I should leave it open. Then you can comment on.
I was trying to find your favorite sweater in there.
Well, it's winter, so I have a few of the sweaters packed. Or it's not winter. That's more of a winter gear.
So Pia and Mayella.
Yes.
I have a question for you both.
We have an answer.
This is going to be interesting. So what do you think of the notion of this whole thing called retail therapy?
And by that, you mean that, you know, if you're feeling stressed, you go shopping?
Yeah.
You could do that at Goodwill.
You could do it
anywhere.
That's
my favorite thing to do when I need to decompress.
Mm-hmm. So I'm just curious. Let's just imagine for a minute that I know nothing about it.
Which might be close to the truth.
It is very close to the truth. So the question is, what does it do for you?
Well, I don't know if I necessarily know that much about retail therapy. So,
well, it's
I think if I could just chime in.
I don't know if I
here,
have the best answer.
If the two
Phil,
guys,
Phil, can, we're not going to stop you. Don't worry.
Right, if the two guys can have a conversation about retail therapy while the two ladies sit around and smile wonder what we're talking about. And
I'll just get stuff done when we need retail therapy. We don't shop.
I can just turn their volume down.
Right.
We can continue.
We don't want to capture their snickering and their But you know,
please enlighten us, Phil.
Yeah, I have a theory on this. Because I think it's my job to be the expert on everything.
He does have a PhD after all.
Yeah, it's a professional license to be an expert on anything and everything. I think it's about sort of the exploration and the adventure. And it doesn't matter where you're exploring or what you're exploring or what the adventure is. You just kind of get out there and kind of roam around and, you know, and look and feel free. And whether it's Goodwill or... Does it have to be high fashion to feel good about yourself, or can it be something that you're looking for that feels like a reward, whether it's at Goodwill or someplace else?
I think of that more as window shopping. And you can kind of browse inside stores, and I still consider that like window shopping, like if you don't buy anything. But retail therapy, which I used to engage in when I was younger, because I felt like I had to have stuff, and I had to have nice-looking stuff in order to... for people to accept me.
So you were comparing yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I would, you know, if I had a bad day, I was like, oh, I'll just go out and get some nice stuff to help myself feel better. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, I mean, I know this now that I'm older, stuff is not what makes you happy. It's ourselves who we make ourselves happy. And so retail therapy is worthless. You end up spending all this money on stuff that isn't never going to make you feel happy. Maybe in that moment, but that's...
In my opinion, it's no different than most other addictions, including alcohol, which numbs us.
Totally. And, yeah. And then 15 years later, you end up like me, having to pack up your whole damn house and finding all the stuff that you bought at one point, thinking that it was going to bring so much joy and spark all this joy in your life, and realizing that it doesn't. And then
you probably brought somebody who owned the company that sold you the product joy.
I'm sure it did. So if any of you want my old bra or any of my other clothes.
Well, I think Phil's got that one.
Everybody's hand is up.
At the end of this episode, as a matter of fact.
I'm like, it will be at Goodwill. All right. Wow. So greatest challenges, and maybe what suggestions or tips you might have for other people who would be experiencing these as they maybe try this challenge out for themselves.
So I think committing to something is probably the first step. So it doesn't have to be a year. You could do it for a month. And just really noticing your habits. Are you buying things or wanting to buy things when you're shopping in Target? I feel like that's one of the biggest culprits of, I feel like that's a common thing that everyone says. You go in not really wanting to get anything and you leave with a cart full of things. You know, buying less and focusing on the stuff that you have, I think is a great way to start. So, you know, I don't normally wear t-shirts. And so I had gotten a present a year ago with a t-shirt that I love the t-shirt, but it's not really something that I like to wear or normally wear. I just cut the sleeves off so it could be a tank top, which is what I actually like to wear. And it's something that I'm wearing now on a regular basis because it fits my lifestyle. So buying less, making the clothes that you have work. You know, I think just checking out thrift stores is a great way to, one, find the stores that you like that seem to have clothes that you can wear, that fit you, that you enjoy. And seeing just the options that are out there is probably a great way to start, because you get in the habit, you realize it's easy to do. You don't have to search the whole store every time. You can just search for, you know, I need new leggings. I'm going to look for that area. Or I need new jeans, which is probably the most frustrating section to look in Goodwill. But start and find the stores that you like. Look for local shops. In Minneapolis, we have a few secondhand stores that are kind of like a Buffalo Exchange, that they're hip, they're fun, they have a well-curated clothing, but they're smaller time and they're local. And they even have ones, they have one that's called Cake that is for plus-sized men, women, and non-binary people. And what I love about it is it's so well-curated, and they have everything from XL and above. So that is great, finding the stores that you really like, that you connect with, that have pieces that you enjoy and that you actually want to shop in, that give you that same experience as a more traditional store. And then finding, you know, I like to swap clothing with people that I know, swap or steal, whichever you would want to call it. you can, I think that's a great way to just experiment with new clothes, not have to buy new clothes, and have fun in the process, because you can meet with your friends, your family, your neighbors, and, you know, get new clothing out of it.
So this podcast is a warning not to let you anywhere near your friends' closets.
Well, similar size friends, maybe. So I think there are just a lot of ways to go about doing it, but I think it's understanding your shopping patterns, one, figuring out the ways that you can change those shopping patterns, you know, avoiding Target. I think that's a really good step until you get in the habit of not looking in the clothing section all the time, and finding the alternatives so you can actually shop and buy clothing that you enjoy. So secondhand stores, online stores, and more consignment type of stores.
Can I ask you a question about that? Like, how often do you go in looking for something versus just looking and finding an opportunistic thing that fits? Because what you're describing is basically, you know, getting less. Yeah. And you must know things that are sort of missing from your wardrobe or things that you'd like to have. Yeah. And so how often do you go in, like, wishing you had a purple tank top? Versus finding something that you say,
all
wow,
the time,
this is
all the
perfect.
Time for the purple tank top. Yeah. You can't have enough of those.
Yeah.
I think changing of seasons is probably one that you start to think, well, what do I need for the fall season? And start to keep an eye out for those type of things.
So the seasons keep you going then. You're kind of keeping.
Yeah, that's why I moved to Minneapolis, so I can have seasons to shop for.
I'm just in a purple tank top year round.
And your comfy bra.
You know, I think for me, I've always been more of a fickle shopper. And that's why buying secondhand is actually better and a better fit for me, because, you know, I feel like I don't know whether I actually like a product. So a shirt, a pair of jeans, until I go out and wear it. And then you're pretty much committed that you bought it. And with secondhand clothing, say Goodwill, I'm supporting a nonprofit. If I buy a pair of jeans and then if I wear it out and I don't like it, I can just donate it back. So I don't necessarily always look for specific products, but with the changing of the seasons or realizing, you know, I need a new pair of jeans. These really aren't kind of what I had wanted. I feel like I always have generally what the type of things that I want.
So these are very casual types of clothing relationships. They're kind of on again, off again. Maybe they last, maybe they don't last. Maybe you'll keep them around or not kind of things.
I think with the Goodwill type of shopping, it makes it easier to have that type of relationship with them. And, you know, to find the better pieces, Goodwill has a lot of Target stuff. I'm going to throw that out there. And those pieces aren't necessarily made well. So whether you buy it at Target or you buy it at Goodwill, it's still the same pieces. The difference is you're basically supporting Target in one, and then in the other, you're supporting Goodwill and keeping it from the landfill if you buy it.
Or I was getting it once when it still has the logo on it and the other time it's a see-through. So,
well, what I, you know, like as an example of that, there's a Goodwill near me that has this Target purse that I've been eyeing because they had about 10 of them and I've been eyeing, but they price them very high at this Goodwill because they think it's a name brand. It was, I think, $17 when I looked the first time. The next time I went, there were about five of them. And it was $14. And I was like, I can't believe this is still $14. They don't last. I've had Target bags break on me after like one use. So I was just keeping an eye because I wanted a specific purse for more professional settings. And I look to the left of that purse and there's a London Fog bag that is really a great brand. It's the perfect purse for what I was looking for. And it was, instead of $14, $6. And I was like, I was shocked. But excited because I got the better purse.
Do they have any Coach stores in Minneapolis?
Coach stores, did you
Coach?
Say?
Is Coach even, I'm sorry, are they still relevant?
I have no idea.
Because I have
Well,
Coach
you're talking to someone who's, I just said I was frugal. I'm not shopping at Coach.
No, I have a few Coach purses and I'm like, I don't want these anymore. But I don't know if anyone else does.
Maybe you could sell them to her for $10.
Yeah.
You know
you could try selling them. Buffalo Exchange.
I will just give them to you.
Send us a picture, though.
Yes. I'll let you know. So I'm just curious, since we have the guys in here, you know, oftentimes, like, as women, we feel like we got to look good at all times and that, you know, clothes is what makes us look and feel good. So when you guys are, like, checking out a woman, like, are you looking at her outfit and what she's wearing, or is it more about, like, you know, how she looks or how she walks or carries herself or like what is it? And help me out here and help all the women out in the world here who feel like we need to spend, you know, a whole lot of money on really nice clothes.
John, you want to take this first?
Sure, because you can be last and kill it because I'm sure you will. So actually, Myla sort of let me know this question was coming up. And so I couldn't sleep last night about it. But this is going to sound, I don't know, hopefully it doesn't sound too far out there or whatever. But actually what I do is I kind of almost like peripheral vision, sort of like night walking. I look at the whole package. And then if I get an opportunity and I just see how it feels, right? So the other thing I do is what I really like to do is actually hopefully get to meet the person. And look into their eyes and see if there's congruency there with that image that I had first seen.
And that has nothing to do with their clothes.
No, that's the fashion. I mean, people, you know, to me, fashion, I think what you might be talking about is fashion where it's positioning, it's looking a certain way, it's all that kind of stuff, which is not that important to me. But what's more important is kind of the person, the essence, and is everything about them congruent with their fashion?
I don't think I can compete with a four-syllable word like congruency. I think,
oh, sure you can.
No, I feel like I've been bested before I even start.
So go ahead.
I would say that about half of my male brain is dedicated to processing my peripheral vision and spotting, you know, a little chunk of gorgeousness before I even notice it's walking past me. And so I've got to say that, and then if you say to me, what is it that your peripheral vision and half of your brain just processed, I would have a hard time saying that it's the clothes. I'd have a really hard time saying it's the clothes. That doesn't mean I don't notice a nice pair of shoes or, you know, a nice dress or something. Or
Purple tank tops
or really comfortable old bra or something like that. I mean, and it doesn't mean that I like to, if I see something that stands out, compliment a woman, just sort of walk by and say, that's awesome, you know. But I think in terms of attraction, my alternative to congruency is confidence. I think a woman who just, you know, can be herself and be relaxed and hold a conversation, I think it's somewhat similar to what women might find interesting in a man. And then, you know, to meet a confident woman, I think is more important than what she's wearing.
I feel like I have the answers to this question is, I don't know if I like the basis of this question, because that's assuming that with, you know, slow fashion, that's assuming with, you know, secondhand shopping and sustainable companies that you can't look good. I think you can.
Well, that was going to be my next question, actually, is would you guys even notice the difference if I or Pierre or anyone was walking down the street wearing something from Goodwill versus something from Target?
The only thing I would notice, Mayella, is if you got a new bra.
Yeah, and we're not going to ask how you would know, but... I would notice a difference, obviously, of course.
You would?
Oh, sure. And it would be maybe largely how you carry yourself.
Okay, interesting.
But I think back to your congruency idea, though, John. I mean, if a woman is dressed to the nines with stilettos and gorgeous and makeup and everything, and then they don't have anything to back it up with.
Right.
I mean, that's pretty disappointing. That's like cardboard, you know?
Yeah, good word, disappointing. Yeah,
better to have a poster on the wall than you know, someone like that in front of you, because it's...
Yeah, exactly.
What's the difference, right?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, part of it from my background, 24 years living in Santa Fe, New Mexico, it's a whole different deal there. And a lot of people from New York, Chicago, L.A. moved to Santa Fe and had to, like, take a lot of their stuff to Goodwill. Which people I know in Santa Fe that had lived there a long time would visit Goodwill and pick up all this really great stuff for like not much money at all. But if it's fashion, if it's style, if it's color, if it's all that stuff, it was the native population there, the American Indian, Native American, and the Hispanic and Latino that to me just killed it with style. Mm. Maybe not fashion, but style. And you can see, you know, Pia, you can see in, you know, behind them are Indian blankets, you know, so.
Fairly, I like it.
Yeah, fairly complex, beautiful wool, 100 years old, you're touching right now. And it's just, yeah. So it's like, it's not fashion though, is it?
I think of it as fashion. I have a shawl that I have.
Yeah. We used to take these newer antique Indian blankets and make jackets and coats out of them.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
cool. But I'm not sure I call it fashion.
Well, I guess that's
because that's like a tomato tomato.
Yeah, it is, but the people that wore them were actually, yeah, I would consider one thing to be common with them is they're fairly brave.
So what is fashion anyway, John? I mean, if you're going to,
I have no idea. Okay. I think you're asking the wrong person.
So are you saying it's not fashion because that's just how they dress? And I guess I'm a little confused here.
Well, it doesn't come from an industry.
Right. Okay.
It comes from an indigenous culture.
Yes.
It comes from something that's hundreds, if not thousands of years old.
I'm totally with you now. So somebody co-opted that and made it fashionable.
Correct.
Yeah. Mm. Okay.
You could almost say the same thing about art in many ways.
Yes.
They wore it well. They adopted the spirituality of it. It was congruous. It was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I hope I might be going off topic, but it was really common for in our shop in Santa Fe, native jackets. We had new blankets and antique blankets. And a lot of times American Indian and Native would come in and look at the old antique blankets, but they wouldn't touch them.
Mm.
And I would say to them, you know, you can touch it. You can robe yourself if you want. And they would say, No, that's somebody else's blanket.
Because it has a spirit to it.
It's somebody else's blanket.
Uh-huh.
So, but they would buy a new one.
So, Pia, do you have that type of relationship to your tank tops?
My sweaters, definitely.
Definitely your sweaters. Okay. Okay.
So hopefully I chunked way sideways on that one, didn't I?
That's okay. This is all a part of the
interesting. Well, it's ADD. It's a gift, man.
That's what happens when you invite guys.
We gave it away, John,
the
silence after you finished speaking.
Myella, I've just made a decision for the show. There will always be a man on the show, at least one. It feels welcome back anytime.
He definitely makes life interesting. We'll give him that.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you to both of you, actually, for enlightening us on how you feel about how, you know, your take on women's fashion, because I think, you know, oftentimes we feel like we're doing this for you, but.
Well, can I chime in, Myella?
Yes.
Can I just chime in here? I have a daughter.
Yes.
Who shops the way Pia shops.
Yes.
And it feels the way Pia feels. And I think there's a generational difference that's sort of somewhat present. I don't know the degree to which the shift has taken place, but certainly the new generation is much more conscious of these things and much less inclined towards new or expensive.
Mm-hmm.
There's much more personal expression involved and so on. At least that's what I've experienced, which is interesting when you're raising a kid in Los Angeles and you get to actually see that kind of sort of awareness because you don't expect that.
Yes. And she's absolutely, I met your daughter. And she's amazing. And I have a daughter that's also a millennial, I guess you could say. Although I heard millennials don't like being called millennials. But anyhow, she's of a younger generation. And
see, we call them millennials. Yes. They call themselves awesome.
Yeah.
Right? And so, you know, is it just a gap there between awesome and millennial? It's like
I call myself both.
Yeah.
You can do that.
Well, I would describe your daughter as delightful.
She is, yes. But I love that they're embracing this new, and I don't know necessarily that it's a new way of thinking. I feel like in many ways, we're kind of just going back to how we used to live, right? I've been having a lot of conversations on this podcast about living a more sustainable life. And we used to live a lot more sustainably, you know, 100 years ago than we do now. And so I think people are just being more mindful. Like it's almost like we're coming full circle now. And I love that this younger generation is starting to be more mindful about that, but also using it as a way of self-expression. And I said, you know, a lot of times we feel like we need to buy nice clothes to look good for you guys. That is true, but I just want to clarify that that it's really important. Self-love is key, and that it's really important that we should be buying clothes so that we feel good about ourselves, not just for other people.
Well, you just introduced a time dimension to this, okay, saying that maybe this is, you know, something that was more common in the past.
Yes.
I'd like to introduce a spatial dimension to this so that we can get totally relativistic, which is that a large fraction of the world lives this way.
Yes.
A large fraction of the world's population lives and dresses this way. And I think it's more, how would you say, equalizing how we live and the standard with which we live and the values that drive us to shop the way Pia shops, because she can identify not only with the past, but with many, many, many people around the world.
I think that's an excellent point.
Yeah.
And the other thing that I, you know, just came to mind is now that I live in Mexico, I have a lot of locally made shirts there that support. There's so many communities where I live that specialize in different artisanal crafts. So pottery making or woodworking. And in my town, it's embroidery. And so I'm supporting local artisans by purchasing locally made blouses or I don't shop a lot. I guess that's the other interesting thing about this whole podcast episode is that I appreciate you sharing, Pia, about making it fun, because I don't find shopping fun anymore. I hate going into stores. I rarely even window shop, like as I walk past, but I don't even like to go into stores to look at what is in there. And I just find the whole thing like, I don't know, like I can't be bothered anymore. I'm getting older and just getting crankier about these things, I think, but also because I just know the impact that all this has, because I have that greater awareness now. I look at things differently.
So can I suggest?
Yes.
It just doesn't feel good anymore.
No, you're absolutely right.
So that's a strategy, I think, that people need to embrace. Does it feel good or mm-hmm. not?
Mm-hmm. And we need to honor our feelings.
Yeah. And what I was trying to allude to is regarding fashion is people buy stuff to feel good. We already talked about that. But people don't fundamentally go beyond that. Mm-hmm.
Or you feel good, but you just feel good for, you know, the moment when you buy it.
Exactly.
And it depreciates after that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think this is an opportunity to say that there are sort of two different types of feelings. There are sort of the superficial automatic ones and then sort of the deeper alignment and purposeful ones. And I think you kind of want to aim for the latter rather than the former.
Meaningful.
Thank you.
Meaningful.
You are a man of very meaningful and syllabic words.
Syllabic.
All right. Well, as
I like that word.
As we wrap this episode up here, Pia, is there anything else that you'd like to add or share with our listeners about your challenge and this topic of slow fashion?
I would say, you know, part of making it fun is following people that are supportive of this type of lifestyle. I think it makes you want to do it more, and it shows how easy it is to do. Fashion Revolution is a really big organization that is promoting sustainable fashion. They are a great one to follow. I loved a book by the woman's name is Elizabeth Klein. She's coming out with another book this month, but she wrote a book called Overdressed, which I got at the library, read, and loved. It's just she does kind of a personal account of her and her journey to sustainable fashion, but then she also does a lot of research into what the industry is all about and why it's not so great and not so sustainable. She even travels to China to talk to different warehouses and factories. So it's a really great way to learn more. And I think the more you learn, the more fun it becomes because you realize why you're doing it.
So I learned something new on this podcast, Mayla. I got to say thank you for this because I learned all about clothing swaps and that you can have a social event yes. out of it. And that just sounds like a great party to have. I think the process of swapping must be interesting as well. And we can swap bras after the podcast.
You got it. Anything else, John?
Yeah, I do want to remind people.
Yes.
As always, if you really liked what you heard or are hearing, tell your friends. Tiny Climate Challenge.
That's right. And you can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google, Stitcher, TuneIn.
Spotify.
Yes.
About 65 different places.
Yep. We're out there. So, Pia, I really appreciate you taking the time. I'm so grateful to you for embarking on this challenge, like on your own, and then allowing me to co-opt it here for this podcast episode. And I can't wait to hear how the rest of your year goes. I'll be following you on Instagram. Do you want to let folks know where they can find you?
Yep. They can find me at Greenie Guide. So GREENIE Guide.
That's on Instagram
as well.
You have
that's
a website.
On Instagram, Twitter, and then the website's greenieguide.com.
And you also have a podcast too, right?
Yep. Yeah. Okay. Which you can find me on all the podcast apps too.
Awesome. I want to write you a jingle, Pia, for Greenie Guide.
You should.
GREENIE.
I like it. I'm going to save this recording for it.
All right. Well, thank you so much for everything that you do. You continue to amaze and inspire me. And I just can't wait to see. You recently served as a mentor through Climate Reality to other folks. And so I know that you're going to continue to amaze and inspire them the way that you have me and everyone else around you. So thank you for everything that you do.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
All right. Well, take care.
Now, for the first time in my life, I truly believe my dreams are possible.